What up, Donut Squad, and welcome to
Holy Matrimony, a podcast where we have the whole conversation about the holiness,
humor,
and hardships of marriage.
My name is Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Anna Glaze.
And we are
That Catholic Couple.
And today's episode is live from SEEK 2019.
Oh my gosh. If
you see the video right now, you'll see that we feel like rats. We're just in a cage with people watching us while we talk.
Like a fish in a fishbowl.
Yeah, like legit. Like there's like, what, how many people out there? Everybody count off. One, two. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
There's like at least 20, 30 people.
Maybe 50. Let's do 100. Let's do 1,000 people. Are outside
people.
Right now. And we honestly didn't know what to do for this because we're vloggers. Well, not anymore.
Yeah, so originally we were the only YouTubers that were brought to
the We're still the only YouTubers.
Yes, we were the only YouTubers that were brought to the media feed, but since we're not doing a YouTube channel anymore, we're like, well, I guess we're podcasting now, so we will be doing our podcast here.
And they didn't set anything up for us to like do a video, so it's like, the only thing we can do is a podcast.
Yeah, which is totally fine. We decided to have everyone that is out there, we're going to try to take turns and try to get as many people in the booth as possible and give us their best Q&A.
Either a question, a comment, concern.
Yeah.
Come in and ask it. We'll maybe do it for like 30 seconds or an hour.
Yeah. Some weird criticism. Like Dino yells a lot. I mean, that's pretty common.
A thing that you, if you've watched our channel, you know how loud I am. And we've got about 45 minutes to do this. So let's bring the first person up. Dead silence.
Dead silence. So okay. So first person. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, first
so you
person.
Put the headphones on.
Yeah.
And make sure you get close to the mic.
Ooh,
yeah,
I know.
It's no joke.
Close to the mic. There you go. Hi. Okay, tell us your name.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
Hi. Caroline. Where are you coming from?
I'm from Indiana, actually.
Yes.
I go to Ball State. I'm a junior.
Nice.
And you are what on Instagram?
The College Catholic.
The College Catholic.
Oh,
that's right.
Cool.
Yes, that's awesome.
Cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, Dino spends a lot of time on social media.
Let's not talk about that.
No, I'm just
kidding. We can pull up screen time on our phones.
So anyway, he probably has seen your Instagram before.
Yes,
okay.
Definitely.
So what is your question for us?
Yeah, so I think as a couple so prominent in media, I want to say, like, coming together, what do you think is your role in media, and how do you see ministry playing in media now and continuing in the future?
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
Do you have an answer yet?
Do you?
Do you?
Do you?
Okay.
Yeah.
So this sounds so cliche, but the idea of, like, having, okay, authenticity, I know it's, like, the number one, like, cliche thing to do in media right now, but especially on YouTube, the idea of, like, being real.
Vulnerable.
Like, yeah, vulnerable is like the only way. Why do you think Anna cries so much? Like, it's just who she is.
But it's just me, yeah.
I don't know. Moving forward, I'm actually really interested to see Catholics that aren't like overtly Catholic in media, because I think it's time that we have some of those that like are Catholic by just their virtue as alone from like their brand. That's something I know that I might try once we are taking off 2019 is to like make some videos that aren't specifically Catholic and see kind of how that plays out.
Right, right. Take the
if that answered your question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and being authentic. And I think one thing that I really remember, like recall is like, it's harder to connect with someone when you're comparing yourself to them, but it's easier to connect to someone when you're relating to them. And so I think something like that on social media is so important. Like, you're real, you're authentic, this is who you are, and I think people can hear from your story. That's probably why I cry all the time. I mean, it's not a fake. It really is who I am. So, yeah. So Dino is shooting a little video with everyone here. But thank you so much for your question. Okay, tell me your name one more time.
Caroline.
And where can they follow you on Instagram?
The College Catholic.
The College Catholic. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank
for coming
you, guys.
Does anybody out there have a question for us?
One more. Yes.
Sweet,
okay, great.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, just take turns, or if you want to come in as friends,
and
hi.
If anybody out there has a question ready, you can come in as soon as she's done. All right, so
hey,
who
girl,
are you?
We've met you before.
Yes,
we've met you before.
For the audience.
So my name is Valeria.
Yes,
nice.
I remember that.
Nice to see you guys.
Nice to see you too.
I know. Okay, where are you coming from again?
From Arlington, Texas.
That's right.
University of Texas at Arlington. Go Mavs.
Woohoo! Sure. Okay, this is your second SEEK, right?
No, it's my very first SEEK.
We saw her at Lone Star.
We saw her at
SEEK.
Yes, we met you.
Second Lone Star, first SEEK.
We met you at Lone Star. That's right. That's right. Oh, that's so exciting. Are you liking it so far?
Oh, I'm loving it.
Oh, so good. Okay, that makes me so happy. Okay, what's your question?
Yes, so my question is directly to Anna, but also to Daniel.
Yeah.
So, Anna, like 2018 was a really heavy year for me, like, just to be, like, a Catholic and a Latina and, like, woman in general.
Girl,
me
preach.
Too, me too.
So my question to Anna is, how can, like, the Latino community, Catholic, and the youth kind of, like, guide their family into growing their faith without, like, a lot of, like, the culture getting in the way?
Right.
And in Daniel's case, like, how can, like, Okay. In Daniel's case, like for like the people that are, may not be like Hispanic, but right. are like very engaged in our lives, like right. friends or close family or like your husband.
Right.
How can they maybe help us out?
Right. So, okay. So first off, I would say come to my talk tomorrow. So okay. I'm doing for the first time, for those of you listening, I'm doing a breakout session or an impact session, all in Spanish, which I'm kind of freaking out about. I will talk about it on the podcast later. I know. I'm so excited. I'm excited, but I'm nervous. So I will definitely be talking about a lot of that in okay. the talk. And hopefully we can release some of those snippets on the channel at some point. But the other thing would be, first off, I think we have to remember that our love for the Catholic faith and our love for our country and our roots mm-hmm. Don't have to be separated.
Okay,
they can come together, and I think it's a false or a lie that's been fed to us that they have to be separate, especially for those of us who are Hispanic living in the U.S.
Exactly.
Everyone's getting cheers out. For those of us who are Hispanics living in the U.S., I think a lot of times we think that because we're learning an American faith, an American Catholicism, that it's not going to relate to our family. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just Satan trying to get in the way.
Oh, totally.
Because we need to, and this is something that I'm going to bring up in my talk tomorrow, like, we need to realize that American Catholics, Jesus is also our Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that is the same, it's the same exact person. And we don't have to change who we are. To talk about him and to fall in love with him. It is hard because there is like a translation that, yeah. that can get, some things can get lost in the translation. But I think it's just making sure that we still have the hope of carrying our culture and our love. Hi, everyone. and understanding that we don't have to pick and choose sides. We okay. can be both and be proud to be mm-hmm. both. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Mexicans.
Yeah. So. Hispanic.
No, more specifically Mexican.
I know, because I am one. just be proud of being both. And I understand that both are a gift. And yeah, we get two cultures that we get to fall in love with, and that should be a good thing.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great answer, Anna.
Oh, thanks. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. So, okay. Sure. Do you have anything like to say like in regards of like being someone so close to like a Catholic, like a Hispanic?
Yes.
Like
how So the thing that has been interesting with Anna like getting this talk is this idea of falling in love with Christ, but honestly in a white way. Mm. Like Anna did, and then trying to translate that into the Hispanic culture.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I've gone to the border multiple times now, and mm-hmm. it's a completely different culture and a mm-hmm. completely different, well, not a different Jesus, but like a different way of falling in love with him.
A different way to practice the faith.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and if I may interrupt really quick.
Of course.
Yes, which is me. I think the best thing that we can realize about those of us who aren't Hispanic but love the Hispanic culture.
Yeah.
So my husband is obviously not Hispanic, but he loves the Hispanic culture and the Hispanic faith.
I am metaphysically Mexican.
Oh, sure, whatever. Do not appropriate my culture. is that at the same time, unfortunately, there is still something going on in our society where subconsciously we are still looked as less or looked upon as less, or there's still like a difference between the races.
Yeah.
And so sometimes our voice, as no matter how loud it can be, it can still get lost mm-hmm. in the midst of American culture.
Yeah.
And so people like Daniel, who are white, who love the Hispanic culture and want to be an ally, are the ones that will help us break those boundaries and those walls. And so for all of you that are out there that are listening,
mm-hmm. if you marry Hispanic,
yeah, help us break those walls and those stereotypes because coming from a Hispanic, it'll only sound like chaos, mm-hmm. but if it comes from another, unfortunately, from another person of their same race, they will actually pay attention.
Absolutely.
And it's unfortunate, but at the same time, I'm grateful for my husband who can be an ally in helping break those stereotypes in the U.S., you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, thank you so much for your questions.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And if anybody else has a question is ready, you can come in and sit down.
Start lining up.
But definitely close the door on your way in.
They can hear us outside.
They kind of. That's why we need to talk closer to the mic so they can.
Okay.
So when you come in here, make sure you're like extra close to the mic.
Okay,
so,
yes.
A little bit more. Actually, you can like adjust it to where it's like in front of your mouth.
There you go.
Is that good?
That works. I think maybe. Okay. I have no idea.
So so I can say like everyone who's outside make some noise.
Okay, cool, sweet.
That was so cool.
That's awesome.
Okay, next
this
question.
This is more people than who watch our video like,
I know,
are
this
outside.
Is so cool. Okay, next question. What's your name?
I'm Noelle.
Noelle. Where are you coming from?
I'm from Nebraska.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yes.
What school?
UNL.
Okay, nice. Nebraska Lincoln. Yes, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, what's your question?
So my question is, what inspired you guys to start your ministry? And also, how do you suggest that people who have the desire to start a ministry of their own go about doing so?
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, so it's funny you asked that because since we're like at the potential end of TZZ.
Yes, for those of you that don't know, we just announced that we will be taking 2019 off. So we are not doing YouTube channels anymore, or YouTube videos, sorry.
Well, as that Catholic couple.
Right, next year. And I think it was
this year.
We just decided to take a little break and place our family first and take some time to ourselves. Going back to that, I don't know if anybody, or I was more so saying it for people that are outside that may not know the announcement.
Absolutely,
but
yeah. So I've been a YouTube head like my entire time, not my entire life because it hasn't been around, but since like YouTube started. And we just got engaged and I was like, I wonder if there's anybody out there that does like vlogging, but like as a Catholic married couple. And the only thing that we saw was Bishop Barron and Catholic Church Militant. And Church Militant's nuts, and Bishop Barron...
It's great, but our parents like him more than we. Yeah.
But I love him to death as everyone leaves our booth.
I know. You just talked bad about Bishop Barron.
Exactly,
what the heck?
So, I just approached Anna. I was like, hey, I think it'd be really awesome if we vlogged our engagements to show like the proper discernment in that. And she's like, but it'd be really awkward if we broke up.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a good point. Yeah. So we decided to like, kind of put it on the shelf, and then we came back to it about 3 months later after we got married, and kind of just went with it.
Right.
And it was a lot of fun to make.
Yeah, I think your follow-up question is like, how do you encourage people who want to have a voice in media or like start a ministry online? What would you suggest? I think the biggest thing is if you are doing it to be just like everyone else, you're in the wrong business. You're in the wrong ministry. Because I think even we tried to do that at the beginning where we wanted to do similar videos to Bishop Barron and Father Mike at the time when he came on too. And we realized like they're doing a much better job at being who they are.
I'm going to interrupt you.
What's that?
So I have this theory called the catechetical media theory where everybody or anybody who is Catholic that wants to start a Catholic ministry, YouTube channel, Twitter,
podcast,
whatever you want, they normally do so with the desire to catechize. And, like, teach the faith. And that's not a bad thing. But the thing is that people do that way better than probably most of us here.
Like scholars or, like, theologians or people that are already doing it.
Well, Father Mike Schmitz, Bishop Barron, all the other ones that do that. Matt Frad. But the thing that people should see specifically about the Catholic faith is how you live it out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're coming in just to be another Bishop Barron or another Father Mike or even another Emily Wilson or even another us, that's not what you're supposed to really do.
Right.
Obviously, if you're married, you can start a YouTube channel. I'm not saying any Catholic married couple can't.
Right.
But it's the idea of, like, sharing your authentic self as opposed to trying to recreate something that's already been created and honestly might be better than what you're doing.
Right.
Because that's something that she was talking about that we had to realize is, like, Father Mike started like a year or two after we did, but like far surpasses us in theology knowledge and faith knowledge.
Right.
And like just those that explain it way better than we ever could. So that's like, okay, maybe we should start sharing our lives more in the vlog style.
Right.
So that's why we decided to start vlogging more. And why I don't know why I can't talk right now.
Well, and we realized that we had something that Father Mike didn't have, which was a marriage, right? So, like, Father Mike is good at what he does, and we are good at what we do, and he has a beautiful vocation. He has a beautiful vocation. We have a beautiful vocation, and we can show the reality of all of them, right? So I think that, like, if you're in college, you can show who you are. Every single person is different, and that's good. So, like, find what makes you different. I know, like, as I drop my voice. Find what makes you different and unique, and see what you can do to add to the platform instead of just like being another voice in the echo chamber, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I hope that answers the question.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No
absolutely.
Problem.
If y'all are like recording us, do so. Post it. Tag us. At is in effect anywhere you're at. Because that'd be awesome. What's up, Claire?
Yeah.
Hey, Claire. Do you have a question, Claire? Claire, come ask us a question. Claire, come on.
Claire from the Catholic
What do you
feminist?
Think about Catholic feminists? Well, let me tell you. I think they're great.
Hi, new question. Yeah, so if anyone has a question, you can come in the booth already and sit
on
the,
on the chair.
On staging.
On deck.
Seat. On deck, yeah.
On deck.
Hi, okay, we have a new one. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Beatrice.
Could you talk closer to the mic?
Yeah, very close. You're
like,
literally,
like almost
it.
Eat it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, that's
a little bit closer. I'm being serious.
Oh my goodness! I know. Eat it.
I know.
I know.
It's so they can hear you out there.
It takes a while to get used to. Okay, but Beatrice, where are you coming from?
I'm coming from Florida.
Okay.
Nice.
What school?
Indian River State College.
Oh, awesome. Yes. Okay, great. Okay, what's your question?
My question is, how do you guys handle your marriage in the nowadays? Because no one wants to get married. No one wants commitment.
For real.
But I see you guys, and I'm like, I want that.
Yeah.
So how do you guys handle it? How do you guys go about it to make it work well?
A lot of sex.
What? Sorry, no.
Wait,
no,
the honest, the honest one, or oh, sorry.
That's a different topic for a different day. But I think we knew that this vocation was so good, and I think,
The long story short is that we love each other,
mm-hmm.
and that we really wanted to get married.
Yeah.
Like I think for me, I had the example from my parents of like a really awesome marriage. That I wanted to, not to like say anything bad about my parents, but like right. I wanted to emulate, but also improve on,
mm-hmm.
right? Like mm-hmm. I was like, because my parents have been together my entire life. I think we have one divorce in our entire family, extended and all. So like marriage has been a thing that has been in, that makes complete obvious sense. Right. Marriage has been a thing in my entire life. Well, yeah, because everybody is married.
Yeah.
How do you think I'm here? But yeah, I think like the idea that we fell in love with Christ individually allowed us to fall in love with Christ together,
right?
But and that the only way for us to even like think about this whole marriage thing is that we had to fall in love with Christ first,
mm-hmm.
And then figure out a vocation, discern that properly, and then just we really like each other,
right? Well, and my side of the story is that no one in my family, there's like mm-hmm. a couple of marriages that stayed together, and so I came from totally broke, like my parents are separated, all of my aunts and uncles are separated, like divorce runs rampant in my family, unfortunately, that like I looked upon that and I was like, I want to do it differently. But then the other thing is that a lot of times, I think specifically right now, and it was kind of cool that they showed that Dating Project, I'm kind of interested in watching that, the Dating Project movie, because I think we've gotten into this this part in our culture where we overthink and overanalyze and over-discern, and sometimes you just really have to go for it and go for it in a prudent and like respectful way, not like go for it like at the hookup culture where like they've taken that truth and they've distorted it, and now it's like everyone just do whatever the heck you want and hook up with everybody. Like no, so it's taking that truth and making sure that it's still geared towards Christ. So going for it and taking that leap of faith and seeing like I really like this guy, so I'm gonna see if, yeah, like I can give him the green light and see if he'll ask me out on a date. And the guy saying like, I'm going to ask her out on a date too. And being okay with the dating culture. And then if you do get married, being able to share your marriage with others. That's the other thing too, is that unfortunately there's not a lot of good marriages out there. And so we want to share that with other people.
Yeah.
So.
We had a booth at Steubenville Lone Star.
Oh yeah. This is a cool story. Sorry. I know this is a lot. But.
Yeah. And I forgot who we were talking to. I think it was a youth minister, but they were all walking by, and like this youth minister just stopped in front of us and looked at our booth, and they're like, "Wait, y'all are married?" And we're like, "Yes." And they're like, "You have a YouTube channel?" "Yes." And you talk about what?
Marriage.
That is awesome. And I was like, "Thanks." He's like, "I think this is the first time I've ever seen like a booth about marriage at a kind of at a conference, because it's all like we had like 14 sisters beside us, like four priests
orders,
on the other side, different orders, different whatever."
Which and we love them too. Like we're so happy for those religious orders. But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. So I don't remember my point.
I'm sorry.
But it was awesome to see that like, yeah, essentially sharing our marriage is something that we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to
Yeah.
And not like a gloaty way of like, oh, look at us. We're supposed to have we're the perfect marriage to model ourselves. Relationship goals. But it was just something that we didn't see.
Yeah.
And we wanted to like be able to kind of put that out there in a way that wasn't scandalous or like in the YouTube community, like break up every 5 days.
Mm.
So yeah, it was just something that we wanted to share.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what are three things you would say that you guys do in your marriage that keeps you guys united?
Ooh. Oh, Daniel's going to make a sex joke again. Here we go.
We pray.
We do pray. We are each other's best friend.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
And we laugh a lot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So we also
would put, like, participate in the sacraments and the prayer as well.
Yes.
Like, we're Catholic. Like, we actually live our life.
Right. There was a book we just finished reading. It's by Pat Lencioni. I think he's one of the speakers this week.
No.
Oh,
he was last
he's
time.
Not. Dang it. He's so good.
Yeah.
But anyway, he released a book called The 3 Big Questions for a Frantic Family.
It's actually the inspiration for why we stopped our channel.
Yeah, and basically it's the 3 big questions that a family can ask themselves is what makes our family unique and finding that truth, and then what can we do to continue growing our family and striving towards that. So it's basically like a mission statement. And so what we did was we decided what our key values were, our core values, and the biggest one, the one that kept coming up, was humor. Like, we take humor too seriously, sometimes to a fault, that like gets us in trouble. But like, that's just who we are. We have a lot of fun and love to laugh and even like make fun of ourselves. And yeah, I think that's been very healthy in our marriage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, being best friends and laughing at each other, and then just reminding ourselves to love Christ.
Agreed.
Together.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
So thank you for the questions.
Yeah,
so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. Wait. Did they leave? Where's my brother? My brother and his fiance.
Hey.
Come on in. You're definitely going to go next, but I want y'all two to come in here.
Yeah.
Come on. Is there a way to turn this one on as well? I know I kind of just threw that on you.
Yeah.
But once she's done, y'all come in, just sit down. You come over. You're going first for
yes,
sure.
Yes, you're going first, and then we're going to have my brother-in-law and his fiance.
So for, yeah, everybody out there, the tall blonde dude is my brother, and he just got engaged to the small blonde one.
Everyone give a cheer.
Yeah, marriage. They're starting their own YouTube channel. It's the Lesser Catholic Couple.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Okay, yeah. Hi. So who are you?
Yes. I'm Jesse.
Nice
Hi,
to meet
Jesse.
You. Where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta.
Cool.
Do you want to, can you move closer
oh, yeah,
to the
closer
mic?
Oh, yeah, closer to the mic.
I always feel like, can you move closer
can
to the mic?
You
like,
move
so
closer.
Rude. But yeah, you're literally going to sit on top of it.
Yeah.
Your lips will be on top
okay.
of it. So, I'm sorry, where are you from again?
I'm from Atlanta.
From Atlanta. Nice. What school?
I go to Belmont in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Nashville is lovely.
We went
last year. It was so great.
Yeah, it was so good.
Okay, cool. What's your question?
All right, so I'm a graduating senior this semester, and I just want to know, what's your advice for people in my age group who are graduating, how to keep their faith alive post-graduation, mm-hmm. post their college community that's keeping them together?
Absolutely. First thing is community.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Focus does really well is like allows college students through their time in college to understand what it means to build a community, to share life. And and sometimes it's actually really hard to do that. But if you can just grab one person in your life, like that can be not necessarily an accountability partner, like to put that pressure on that person, but to actually have a friend that strives with you, that loves with you, that whatever lives
yeah.
faith with you, I think that's like one of the number one things that I would suggest.
Yeah, the other one is to let go of expectations. So that was the biggest one for me, specifically after I left Focus. So I graduated and became a Focus missionary. And I literally thought that my life after Focus was going to be the exact same it was through college and
yeah.
missionary life. And it's not. It is a very different stage of life where you are almost rediscovering or like sifting through everything that you learned through college. And you are learning how to like apply that even more. If you thought college was hard, I think after college, that's really when you're pushed to the test. Like, okay, so you learned a lot. Let's see where you can do that. And even if you're in the secular workforce, like understanding that like, not everyone's going to be Catholic, and you're going to have difficult conversations, and that's okay. Like, you should actually kind of be excited for them and see, like,
yeah.
how you can take what you learned and put it into place.
Well, and since we're at a Focus conference, there's a reason why they build it. There's a reason why their discipleship model is win, build, and send.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the send part, like, it's not just, like, a send. Yes, in college, it's to send you out into, like, the college campus and, like, make more disciples. But, like, it's the actual, like, send you out into the world
mm-hmm.
to use what they built you up with to use once you're sent.
Yeah.
And that's something that I would, I guess, kind of the last suggestion would be to go back to that built. Like, okay, I've been sent. What did I learn? How can I go back and say, okay, they taught me this about Bible study. They taught me this about the sacraments. They taught me this about my faith. How can I take that and then apply it to working at Northwestern Mutual or Chase Bank or wherever you're at?
Yeah.
We had a friend that just left Focus, like working with Focus, and now works for, actually, I think it's Northwestern Mutual.
Yeah,
and, yeah, for real, right? And she was talking about how she was really ready to not have just a Catholic bubble and like just have a Catholic friends, that she prayed for. Like, how'd she say it? Like,
she wanted someone that was either like transgender or homosexual, or like someone that was like living
like,
with
give
her boyfriend.
Me tough friends.
Like, I want friendships that I can like start investing in and have those tough conversations. Like, I want to seek them out because it challenges me to also understand how to communicate my faith, not just in easy, comfortable settings, but in challenging and difficult situations.
Yeah. So, like, the first girl she met was a lesbian with a girlfriend. And she's
yeah.
like, well, I asked
great.
For it.
This
I prayed for
great.
It.
Thanks
Here we
God,
go.
Like, divine opportunity. Okay.
Yeah.
okay, this is it. And like, she's still friends, like she's friends with her and they hang out all the time. And it's like, I want to have these friendships and challenge myself to love them, to see the love first and the dignity.
And pray every day.
Oh,
that's the last one. Pray every day.
You can't forget prayer.
Yes. Man.
Yeah. 15 minutes a day will change your life. Still 100%, especially after college, you might not be able to do holy hours and as much as you do now in college, but 15 minutes a day will change your life at least at the minimum. So
yeah, we should build on that later, but absolutely.
Yeah, you should build on it, but for sure. Yay.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much. Yay. Cool. Give it up for, what was your name? Jesse. I just want to see if they're still listening. I just want to see. Okay, woo. So this won't take that long, but I wanted to bring my brother and his fiance on. The blondes and the browns.
That's terrible.
Yeah, so like get next to the mic.
Yeah,
like,
you're going to grab
like,
the
literally
cage.
Like put your lips on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the cage. Yeah, not the mic. Yeah.
Ooh.
So grab
yeah,
right here.
Exactly. Project.
Yes,
yes,
project.
And literally,
perfect. Nice.
Like you're going to talk on top of the mic, basically.
Okay, so I'm just, okay, this is actually something that I've wanted to do for a while.
Hold on, mom and dad are going to be so excited.
yeah, for real.
I just got off the phone with dad.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Did you FaceTime them?
Yeah, I FaceTimed them and said your kids are in a zoo.
Yes. No, I legit feel like a rat, bro.
Yeah.
Yes. No, yes. And like the sound is echoing off of stuff, so like it's not good audio, but whatever.
It's super hot in here.
It is very hot.
And one's Daniel, too, so he's sweating up a storm for sure.
What are y'all most excited for marriage?
Kids.
Hell yes.
I think for me.
I was like, is that it?
The part of making kids.
It's definitely going to be kids. But being weird. So my fiance and I were teammates as Focus missionaries last year. So we spent every day praying and going to mass together. And now that I'm in Kansas and she's in Texas, we don't get to do that every day. So I'm excited that we, in marriage, get to have a prayer life that is one while still being individuals as well.
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Is yours just kids?
No, that's exciting. Yeah, yes. Kids is great. But getting to see Patrick lead me in a way as like husband and wife is going to be really awesome because as teammates, that's like when I fell in love with him was when we were teammates on mission together. So right. I'm really excited to see how he leads me and the kids in our faith.
So. Hopefully they get my height. So
yeah. But not
all
your
I'm saying is that if you have the first boy, I will sacrifice him for you.
Yeah, if y'all want to start a novena that we get the first boy, that'd be awesome.
It's a
yeah.
competition in the Glaze family wow, to see who has the first boy.
Way to make fun of our infertility, Patrick.
Oh, my gosh. That's awful. That's terrible.
I'm asking for the prayers, man. You should have done it already.
Yeah,
I should have done it already.
Well, because we're not selfish like that. We deserve real grace.
That's not selfish.
We're fighting on our
podcast.
Welcome
to their brotherhood, everybody. Welcome to Dino and Patrick's
I love
basically
him.
Entire life.
I love
welcome
him.
To the Glaze Therapy Podcast.
Yes. That one time. So let's talk about a couple things. I sprayed Windex in your eyes.
Yes.
I hung you out of a window. Second story
window. Yeah.
I pushed you down the stairs
in a laundry
one of the
basket.
Tall laundry baskets, aww. Not the flat ones. One of the tall ones.
My poor baby.
What else?
Daniel. Well, Patrick got Daniel in trouble for spilling his malt.
Oh, that's a whole story.
That's a whole
that's
story.
Still
though.
A yes. fight.
It's still a yes. fight to yes. this day about
Patrick,
what happened.
Patrick faked knocking his malt over, and I got yelled at by dad. And I had to put my nose in the corner, and I didn't get a malt that night.
Yeah,
it pissed me off.
But Patrick says Daniel.
So
was
what?
The,
I cried.
But it's the. But
he was also 15 or 16.
No,
years
I was
old.
Like 10 or 9.
No, you were
like 3 then.
Yeah. Yeah, you were a grown.
I was definitely in middle school.
Yeah, you were definitely in middle school, and he cried in front of our neighbors, so it was really good.
Wow.
Yes, it was.
This
it was
so
a very sanctifying moment in our family.
Yeah, Patrick still says that Dino was the one that knocked the malt over.
And no, so and does dad.
Yeah, no, everyone says that it was Dino.
There's a thing called objective truth that we learn in Catholicism that is not the case with what you're talking about. You knocked it over with your
two
little
against
baby
one.
Hands.
Your baby hands.
Two against one? No. Do you have any more questions?
Yeah, you're like, okay, well, that's it. Okay, let's talk about the proposal really quick, because we were there, but we weren't there. So by that, we mean
I was
we were there. Well, Daniel was. He recorded it. But we were there for the after part, but we weren't there for when it happened. Callie, did you have any idea that it was going to happen?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I, like, started to get these feelings and these thoughts, like, maybe, but I didn't want to latch onto them because I didn't want to get my hopes up.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay. So, I knew eventually.
It was coming.
Well, because there was something that you were talking, that y'all talked about after that he proposed that you felt that she felt.
Oh, wow. Way to just be super...
No, I'm saying, like, whenever before I proposed to you, because you also didn't know, but you were like, I felt different.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I was going to ask you. Yes, we never got a chance to talk about this. Did you feel like something was up, but you didn't know if it was going to be a proposal? Because I thought, I really think, ladies, if you're listening, if a guy is about to propose, but you don't know it's coming, I feel like Satan really messes with you. At least, or like something is like there's a restlessness, but you can't really put your finger on it. At least that's how I felt, where I was like.
Because you were thinking like we were going to break up that day.
I thought we were going to break up that day. But, and so funny. I was wondering, I was like, I wonder I wonder if Callie knew something was going to happen, but she couldn't put her finger quite on like what was going on. I was going to ask you about that because I don't know if it was just a meat situation.
It was sort of similar to that. I definitely felt like there was an anticipation building up, and I was like, for what?
Like, what is happening? Uh-huh. Why do I feel like so different today, but I don't know what's going to happen? So,
Well, the funniest part that Callie didn't know about until the day afterwards was during Mass, Callie started crying after we received the Eucharist, and Callie cries a lot, so it's kind of normal for me.
Yeah, she's going to be fit. You're going to fit perfectly in our family.
She was just like, yeah, we were praying together after receiving our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and I just like leaned over to Anna, who was four people next to me, and I mouthed to her, can I have the tissues?
Oh, yeah.
And Anna goes, right now?
The ring?
No, she broke up.
She goes, right now? And I go, yes, tissues. Can you not see Callie? So she pulls out the engagement ring. And I'm like, no.
And I'm like, baby, put that back. Put that back.
Well, because they gave it to me because they knew Callie wouldn't go through my stuff. I'm like the last person she would go through.
And
like,
apparently the first to show her the ring.
I was like, right now? Okay, this is really weird. We're like right in the middle of communion and Callie's breaking down in tears. But okay, Patrick.
We're not going to hold hands during the Our Father, but we're going to propose during Mass. Yeah.
You're in the communion line and you take Jesus and then you turn around and you're like, Callie, I just want to lead you to Christ.
Yikes. Terrible.
And she goes, okay. You put the ring on her tongue.
That's good.
Actually, we were talking about how funny it would have been if you didn't tell mom and dad at all that you were proposing, then leaned over during the sign of peace and was like, I'm proposing right now.
See how they reacted.
To see what they do. But my mom would be like,
She would scream an expletive and then hug me, probably.
Yeah,
that's so true.
What the?
For real.
So, okay, is there anything that you're excited about into marrying into this crazy family? Because I'm already in it.
Just to Callie?
So, yeah, that's just to Callie.
Are you talking to me marrying into her crazy family?
Oh, yeah, actually. So two families become one. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a thing.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, that's what happens in marriage. What are you most, so we talked about you're most excited about being together, leading, Patrick, mm-hmm. you like having kids, leading the home. Mm-hmm. But now you're bringing two families to merge together. What are you most excited about for that?
And this will
if
be the
there's
last
anything that you're excited about.
And this will be the last question so we can
keep going.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, like for them.
Oh, for them, yes.
Not her.
Okay,
yes.
I was like,
sorry,
oh,
no,
of
you're
course
good.
Yeah.
I'm talking about for them too.
No, okay, yes.
I am excited. I am very excited.
Wow, just the hesitation.
Just talk yourself into it.
Welcome.
I am excited. I am so excited.
I'm excited? Question mark?
It'll start sounding real.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Yeah. No, I think there are some characteristics I see in the Glaze family that...
sorry, as I hit the mic.
Let her answer.
No, that's the nicest way. There are some characteristics.
That are so interesting.
No, it's true. It's true. Like, there are ways you guys actually have an intimacy that my family doesn't naturally, that I notice in the Glaze family that I'm really excited to learn and to... be invited into, and I actually felt super loved the like 5 days that we all shared that house.
Yeah, for real.
Because that house is not that big.
Yeah. I felt super loved and super known and cared for. And so I'm just excited, I think, to enter into the intimacy that you guys have within each other, the ability to enter into each other's hearts and go into conversations that are deeper.
Very quicker.
Yeah, very quick. That's definitely going to be a learning process, the speed. But I'm excited for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Patrick, what about you?
Me going into her family or her coming into our family?
You coming into her family.
Yeah, I think... being an extrovert coming into a family of introverts is going to be really fun. bringing the Texas pride up to Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Cape Girardeau, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm excited just to see how, yeah, the dynamic of Callie and I's complementarity, because we're very different, how that mm-hmm. plays specifically with me being more of a dominant male mm-hmm. and extrovert with yeah. her family, who are kind of not as outspoken as us.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's an understatement for sure. Because we're really outspoken. We're really shy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
We love you.
I actually want to do a full-on podcast with you two.
Oh, my
like
gosh.
Pre-marriage and then do one post-marriage.
Yeah, I'm actually fasting from podcasts right now.
So. You're fasting from fasting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yikes. Well, thank you guys so much.
All right. Love you guys. Bye. Okay, that was fun.
I know, I love
that. That was a lot of fun.
They're gonna be so great.
Yes.
We're transitioning to the next.
Large.
Yeah, we're transitioning to the next person.
Once again, if you have another question, come on in. Sweet. Awesome.
Yes. Next. Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Cassie.
Hi, Cassie. Where are you coming from?
I'm from Laredo, Texas.
Ooh,
and
nice. We're in the same diocese. You know I'm from Eagle Pass, right?
Eagle Pass.
Oh, yeah. We're the same Laredo diocese, Bishop
nice.
Tamayo.
Yes.
It's such a long diocese.
Oh, it's so long. Yeah, because it's like one of the newest dioceses in Texas. So it's like all the borders, like, okay, well, we forgot about these cities.
What, did you fly to San Antonio? Well, you don't go to school in Laredo, did you?
No, I go to school at UT, University of Texas.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Are you Yay. With Sarah Garza?
Yes.
I was her youth minister when she was in high school.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm so sorry that she's there. Actually, I love Sarah. She's amazing. Yeah.
Just kidding. Okay, so what's your question?
Okay, so basically it might be a complicated question. I'm not sure, but it's a question about Catholic dating.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. So, okay. So I just got into a relationship like a month ago, and I was talking with my friend who's a focused missionary about it, and she was just asking me questions like, okay, so like, what does a God-centered relationship like look like to you?
Mm.
Yeah, and so I just answered, you know, the basics, you know, like going to Mass together, praying together, and then I had mentioned going to adoration together. And then when I mentioned that part, she was like, okay, like hold on, like let's take a step back. Like,
right.
Like going to adoration, she had mentioned like being wary when doing things like that with a significant other because it's like inviting them into a really intimate part of your relationship with Jesus. So my question is, how do you go about a God-centered relationship while keeping in mind and drawing that line between, you know, your relationship with your partner and your personal relationship with Jesus and not like trying to intertwine the two?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
I have the simplest answer.
Do it.
Don't pray together, pray for each other. And pray for each other without the emotional context of it. I know it can be hard, but I think the reason I'm kind of on that same boat, and I know it's hard for a lot of people to hear because you would think that if you're dating and want to bring Jesus in, well, go to the place where you can find Jesus together, right? Which is an adoration chapel. But I think Satan is always on the prowl. And I think we have to be very aware that he will very easily play with our emotions whenever we're trying to get closer to God. And so it's very easy to confuse spirituality components with emotional components of a relationship. And so it could be very easy to say, if you're praying together often, start to confuse what God is actually saying versus what your emotions are saying. And emotions are not inherently good or bad, but at the same time, like, you want to make sure that what you are hearing in adoration and in prayer is actually God's voice and not just what you want to be true, if that makes sense. And so that's the first thing. I think praying for each other is more important than praying together, especially in that in this moment of time of dating. Praying for each other's good, willing the good of the other. I would say that that's even better. And not just praying for each other to stay together, but praying for each other's real goodness and with always the context of understanding that, like, we might break up and understanding that that's a reality that you can live in and that's okay because you have prayed for this person and you know that whatever God sends your way, even if it's a breakup, will still be good for that person. And so that's what I would advise.
It's something that I think, like, I think we had this conversation the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the idea of praying together before, I don't even necessarily, because I know your question of, like, where is that line, right? Like, I think as people, we want to know, like, okay, what can I do and what can't I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that does take a maturity level that I think people should, I guess, be aware of if they're there. Right? Because, I mean, if I'm dating a guy, that's a whole other
conversation.
If I'm dating a dude, there's something going on.
That's a different kind of context.
That's a whole different podcast.
So yeah, if I'm like with, I was about to say boyfriend again. If I'm with my girlfriend and we're like holding hands and like we're rubbing each other's backs and like we're in front of the Eucharist and like we're praying together, in theory, that's like, okay, that's not a bad thing. But like we need to like take into account how real the spiritual realm is. And when you like open yourself up like that, not only, yeah, can the devil attack, but like you can just... You can like essentially like precede your relationship before it's even supposed to be where it should be. If that made any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, I mean, even if it's like going to adoration together, but once it's at the other side of the room and like you do your own devotions, like that's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that's what you were saying.
I would put that caveat in there too of like, okay, if you have to go pray together, like you're literally at the same place at the same time. That's fine. Okay, like, we're not trying to, like, say, like, don't even step in the church at the same time. Like, everyone be weary. Yeah. No, it's like, if you're there at the same time, that's the only time you have to pray, then go. By all means, like, please place Christ first. That's great. We're more saying that, like, if you're stepping in there intentionally together to sit together and hold hands together and you're not at the level of maturity in your faith.
To make out together, all that stuff.
No, please do not make out in the Adoration Chapel. That is horribly disrespectful.
So we weren't supposed to do that?
We weren't supposed to do that. No, I'm just kidding. No, but if you don't have the spiritual maturity to undertake that at that moment, then be honest with yourself, be real with yourself and say, you know what, like, I don't think we're ready to like to really sit together and pray at this point in time. Because I always worry, there's three voices in prayer. It's God's voice, your voice, and Satan's voice. And your voice and Satan's voice they can sound very similar. God's voice is clear. And so you just want to make sure that you can hear God's voice the clearest out of all of those three.
So dump him.
No.
I'm joking.
We are not. I mean, if you have to, yes, but no, yes, exactly. No. Yeah. That's not what we're condoning. So, I hope that makes sense. Okay, good. Yeah. Yay. Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for your question.
Dead silence again as we transition out. Yay.
That was a great question.
That was really good. Oh my gosh, that was a good question. I hope it made sense for people out there.
Yes.
But yeah. Hey, welcome.
How are you?
Okay, you're gonna get real close to the mic. Like, yes.
Like yes. This close.
Perfect. That's like the best person who's done this. So okay, where are you from?
I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
Sweet. But what's Nashville. Your name?
Okay, my name, my full name.
All of it.
No, just whatever you want to share.
I want both. People call you and your actual name.
Yes.
All seven.
Yes. All seven. Yes.
The sweet life of Zach and Cody.
Nice.
Just kidding. It's Guillermo, Fernando, Morales, Enriquez.
Perfect.
Me cool too.
No way.
No. Anna, Georgina. Glaze Perez now.
Yes.
Perez Macias was before. Yes. Okay. So you're from Nashville. What school?
I go to Lipscomb. But before I continue, I have a special message from somebody from Nashville that says that knows you guys.
Okay. Who? Tell us.
From Brad Shapizzi.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
Brad. Yeah.
He said, visit the Catholic couple and tell him I said hello.
Yeah, he's
fellow
awesome.
Catholic YouTuber. I love that.
He's another awesome. YouTuber. Yeah. Yes. Cool. YouTube community. Yeah. Sweet. So ask us your question.
What's up?
Okay. I had a couple, so.
Okay.
Pick one and let's go with it.
Okay. It's rooted around pride.
Okay.
So I'm in a relationship right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself difficulty in discerning where I'm being prideful of myself, of doing what I want to do, because and my partner who wants to do what she wants to do, but I feel like what I want to do is like the thing to do. And so when I want to do this thing, I think in my head that my partner does not want to do that thing.
Mm.
And it creates a conviction that she does not want to do what I want to do. So then there's a barrier there. So then I want to do what I want to do.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to do what I'm want to do. So yes. where is the division line between pride and the difference of personality?
Yeah.
Good clarification.
Does that personality hint at a bigger decision of staying together or not staying together?
Ooh. I think that's a guy answer. I'm going to let Daniel answer it first.
Well, okay, so it's funny that you kind of bring up that idea of pride within a relationship. Because I actually think that's why we didn't stop TCC earlier, our YouTube channel.
was because of my pride.
Oh.
Honestly.
Aw. Okay. Aw. Everyone, aw.
Oh, my gosh. Aww. No, shut up. What are you doing? Because I think I know what's best, honestly. Because, like, as a man, I'm supposed to lead this family. Right, like that's it's written in our hearts. Like we're supposed to be the leaders,
Even in the relationship.
Well,
yeah.
I was gonna say even a relationship, and there comes a point in time where it's like, okay, if I make a decision, and every time I make a decision, she doesn't agree with it. One, is she right? Two, am I right? And three, is that decision the best decision? Because, yeah, there's just, honestly, yeah, because I'll be very straight up. Like, I always think that whenever we have these conversations about what we're going to do, I always think I have the right answer every single time.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think we have two things in common. Our name and
that. Nice. Awesome. That's a good callback. I like that. And it's taken a lot of allowing Christ to knock me down a couple times to see where I am being prideful and where I need to kind of take that step and saying like, hey, babe, like, well, I'm making this decision right now. Mm-hmm. And it's not like in a disrespectful way of like, you have no voice in this, but it's like, please trust me with what we're doing right now. Even it's like what movie we're going to see. But like, well, that's not a decision that like you need to pray about, but yeah, it's just sometimes, right? But yeah, it's just that idea of like allowing myself to be molded by the relationship, but I have to get over my pride to allow that to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know if
you're gonna call me out again.
No. I was gonna say so. Take this with a grain of salt because we are married. So what we can advise True. You is still from a marriage concept or mm-hmm. context. But I think it can still relate in the sense that I, at the end of the day, no matter how many times we disagree, no matter how many decisions are made that we're not on the same page on, we can always look back and say that we fully trust one another. Mm-hmm. So there is a bound or a foundation of a bounding trust where like even if Daniel makes a decision or leads our family or our marriage in a way that I don't agree with, I can still know to the deepest of my heart that he is doing it with the best intentions. And I think that in a relationship, if that trust isn't there, it can be very easy for both of you to look at each other,
critically?
You're not just going to look at each other as like, oh, well, this person's out to get me because you are in a relationship. But at the same time, you can still look at each other with a lens of mistrust. So like it might not be as apparent as you may think of like, oh, well, this person, yeah, doesn't want what's best for me. It might not be as clear as that, but it still might be like, well, what are his intentions behind it, right? And it can still lead to questioning a lot of those things. So like when Dino makes a decision, I still don't even question your intentions. We've been married 3 years, and I can say that I've worked on it, but I think we're at a place now where I can look at you and say, okay, he's not doing it to be a jerk. He's not doing it to hurt me. He's not doing it to, like, intentionally make us fail. Mm-hmm. He is doing it out of love for me. Okay, so then how can I still have a conversation with him where I can voice my opinion but not have it be affected by my own mistrust in it, him, because it's not there, right? So I can see the clarity and the intentions behind it. I don't know if that makes sense, but I know that, like, in a relationship, if the foundation of trust isn't there, if you're still questioning this person's intentions and integrity, then it's time to evaluate where you're at in your relationship.
And finally, I would say communicate about this.
Oh, so much.
Because I don't know if this is something that you've even brought up to her, but keep... And if you have, great, but keep talking through it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because, like you said, it might actually come down to we're just not for each other. Yeah. And you might have to break up if that's what you decided. I'm not saying do that right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, there might be something that, like, you not necessarily need to entertain the idea of that, but maybe just, like, yeah, once the decisions are made, maybe even have a sit down and be like, okay, so what was your intentions with that decision? What were my intentions with this decision? And have that kind of that continual conversation to come with some sort of resolution for that.
Yeah, yeah. God is is found in truth. And so don't, being passive aggressive or assuming or coming to a conclusion and jumping to it before you even have a conversation is not where Christ is. Like, he is not in those assumptions. He is in honesty, transparency, and like realness. He never talked to people with assumptions formed. He was honest to them. Like, he called them out, asked them questions, and wanted to have intentional conversations with everybody that he met and questioned and, like, challenged them. It was never like, well, I don't know, what do you think? You know, like, or well, I don't know, what about this? And, like, it was never... Yeah, it was never with vague. Passive aggressive. It was never vague. He got passive, Christ was to the point. So
to the point.
Yeah. Get to the point.
So we can definitely talk about this after the podcast if there's more questions.
Yeah,
but we're gonna kick it to him for the very last question.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you so much for coming on.
All right, thank you guys too.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
Is that cool, Mel, our producer, to do one more? Cool, awesome, sweet. hey, I'm happy all you guys stuck around.
I know.
Y'all are friggin' awesome.
Oh, Priscilla, don't leave.
Priscilla, don't leave. Hi, Lily.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, baby.
That's our daughter.
The real star has arrived.
She, everyone can go flock to her now. Thank you for coming. It's great.
And that's
to have
the end of our time.
Lily steals the show. Hi, cool. Welcome.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, Anna. How are you?
Good.
How are you doing?
Okay, tell us your name.
I am Nathan Carls.
Nice.
Sweet.
I am from the University of Arkansas.
Nice.
So my question's actually about Lily.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
Yay, perfect.
Do
perfect
me a favor
and
talking to the mic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a beatboxer or something.
Yes, good. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
So obviously now that y'all are married and you have a child, you're going to raise her in the Catholic Church, teaching her the faith, and you're responsible for her, like, formation.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned catechesis earlier in the podcast. And I was wondering, like, catechesis is changing because, like, with the new evangelization theme of conference, there's, like, this new social media platform, which obviously y'all have experience in. I was wondering, how are you going to use this, like, new platform? How is it maybe going to maybe hinder her, help her? I just see, like, a lot of, like, young, like, toddlers using iPads and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, social media for a 7-year-old, not a good look, I don't think. So.
For sure.
Yeah.
What is, like, the discussion for that for y'all?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's actually funny, we're talking about kind of our YouTube channel, Lily. We actually, I don't know if anybody who watches it, but we slowly phased Lily out of our videos because we like, wanted her to have her own anonymity. Ooh, I said it right.
Yeah.
Like, once she kind of got to a certain age, it's like, okay, let's not have her face be everywhere on our channel just for, like, her future sake. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we have this conversation almost every single day of, like, not only necessarily with tablets, with screens, but, like, yeah, when are we going to let them have a Twitter? When are we going to let them have a YouTube channel if they want to? When are we going to? Because, honestly, if Lily doesn't end up being famous, I think we failed as parents. I mean, y'all see her. Look at her. She's freaking amazing.
We're trying to get her to heaven. not make her famous.
Actually, her the director of her school was like, if she's not a politician, I swear it's not right.
Oh, yeah. Because
she walks in. She's like, hi, I'm Lily.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm Lily.
Hello.
How are you?
Good morning.
It's always hilarious.
Yeah.
But do you have anything you want to go from there?
Well, it's such an interesting tension because obviously we're still very new to parenting. We still just got the one, not by choice.
We have a good time.
Yes. But we don't know what technology is going to look like in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years. And so we can try to set as many parameters right now. But we have to also keep in mind that those parameters could maybe not change completely,
but could adjust.
Yeah, like we may need to mold a couple of those or be a little bit more flexible with certain of those things. And so, yeah, it's such an interesting conversation. I think it's a conversation that needs to continue to happen. It's not a one and done parenting decision. I think it's a continual parenting decision that you just have to keep talking about.
Well, and some practicals for what we actually do is we don't have a TV. Like our apartment and our house, like, isn't focused around a TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's just focused around, like,
each other, literally other
chairs and couches facing each other. And when people come over, we, like, they sit and they talk with us. And the only time we take it out is to watch the Pacers or Colts or any football game or basketball game I'm watching. And we only let her, there's only certain times that we allow her to watch any kind of tablet or any kind of laptop, but it's never alone. Like, it's always with us. So she runs and hits the door. Okay. Hi, Lily. Can you hear me, Lily?
Hi, Lily.
I love you, Lily. I love you.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Lily, can you spin and point?
Spin, and point. Come on. All right, that works too.
Because we're not anti TV. Yeah. Like, we're not anti screens. We she's just dancing out there.
And now she's putting on a show.
Yeah. So we're not anti-TV, we're not anti-screens, because we do live in the current world, right? So, like, we have to keep in mind that, like, this is still a reality of life. But we also, we try to make sure that, yeah, there's, like, someone around who knows what they're watching or has at least watched the movie with her before or the TV show with her before. Yeah, there's a specific time and place for what she watches, and it's not more than maybe like an hour at a time or two hours, depending how long the movie is. But we try to discern it all the time.
Well, I was going to say, I think a lot of the things that we do when it comes to this kind of technology discussion decisions is when something arises, we talk about it and figure out, like, what do we think is the best option for Lily, and sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong.
Yeah.
And one thing I do know is that she'll never watch YouTube by herself.
Never.
Like, ever.
Never.
Or even Netflix. Yeah.
Which, we love YouTube. We're YouTube heads. We are on YouTube, but we will never allow Lily to watch YouTube. Like, I think, yeah, I am not... I'm very wary of judging other parenting styles, right?
I'm not.
So, like, well, I mean, Daniel's not.
I judge everyone.
I'm always like on the pro mom. Like, I want to make sure all women and parents like know that like what they do for their child is totally up to them. Like, I'm not out here like casting judgment. I'm like, oh, you breastfed versus bottle fed. Like, what the heck? No. So, like, I'm totally like for everything. But at the same time, there's one thing that I'm just like. YouTube, like, that is so easy to just swipe over and find something that is not good for your kid, because we've just seen it. We're so aware. And I think that's one thing that's really cool that we're going to be able to share with Lily, is that, like, we know where things are at. We've been in that realm. So hopefully, with that knowledge, we'll be able to be careful and, like, show her where to go and not to go, and give her the right tools to
absolutely
navigate that. So
definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I hope that answered your question. I don't know.
I think it was really effective.
Awesome, for sure. Mel, do we have time for one more? Be honest. Really quick. Okay, cool. Your last one really fast.
Really fast.
All right, let's do this. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, wait, somebody else.
Someone just won Jenga or something.
Oh, nice.
Hi, welcome. What's your name?
Okay, cool.
My name is Haley.
Hi, Haley.
Hi.
Where are you from?
That's weird.
You're good.
I'm from Iowa. I go to Iowa State University.
Nice.
Okay, cool. What's your question?
Okay, so I had a question on the terms of praying for your future spouse, and how do you live your life and your prayer life in that way where you don't become, like, it's the only thing you talk about with Jesus, or you don't become obsessed with it even when you're not in prayer, and, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
First off, go watch our video.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen our video about praying for your future spouse.
We released a video.
That's fine. Good, because my answer is don't pray for your future spouse.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Legit.
Dude, no, I know. It sounds terrible.
She's like, what did I walk into?
Dang it. I've been praying for him for so long.
It's like, oh, I'm going to go.
I'll see you later. Bye. No, but do not pray for your future spouse. I know that sounds terrible at the beginning, but we have reason behind our opinion.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
You got it. You're killing it.
Pray for your vocation. Do not pray for your future spouse, because if you start praying for your future spouse and you haven't actually discerned your vocation, you're already setting yourself up for a specific box, like a specific
you're not allowing, you're not allowing the will of God to mold you. You're trying to mold the will of God into what you want.
Yes. And so one of the biggest pieces of advice that I received when I was still discerning, like, or my first year as a missionary and I wasn't dating, was if you can't set both vocations, religious life and married life, on even playing fields, if one is already higher than the other, then you are going to make a default decision, and God can still obviously bless it, but we want to make sure that we are being open to any calling that God has for us. And so I think you have to be careful about praying for your future spouse. Again, I think it takes a level of spiritual maturity that I just wouldn't generalize everyone to be at that yet. I think once you're dating, like, or discerning with someone, then you can start praying for that specific person and asking God to, like, show me if I'm supposed to marry this person. But I think right now, if you're single, pray for your vocation more than anything, and love being single. Like, I think there's still this taboo that, like, being single is, like, you should be shameful for it. And I completely wish.
Yeah,
I wish
make
more people
movies
talked
about
it.
Now. Just kidding. I'm joking,
the
I'm
dating
joking.
Project again. No, I just wish more people saw the goodness in being single because it gives you the time to prepare for whatever vocation that you're going to enter.
Yeah. And not to like kind of pull the carpet out from under you right there, but it is okay to have the desire to want to get married and even like praying for that desire, but it shouldn't become the sole purpose of why you pray.
Yeah.
Because I can think of like 15 guys and girls that I know that are even in like their mid 30s and haven't been married yet, and all they talk about is like, I'm just waiting for my spouse to come. It's like, cool, but are you praying for anything else? Like, yeah. Are you doing anything else in your life? I think the danger is, like, if you are anticipating something that you hope God will bring into your life and you put all the expectation on God in a way that is unhealthy, mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said earlier, like, you're molding what you hope to happen as opposed to what God can do for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like, in the sense of, like allowing your life to be molded by God.
Yeah. Well, and the last piece for ladies who are listening right now, just because someone's story might have proven like results or like given them the results that they wanted, or like I hear a lot of like speakers and not to knock them, but I think a lot of it is the whole like, I wrote letters to my spouse that I gave on their wedding day. And I think I sounded really horrible
right there.
I just sounded to like a total B. But at the same time, like if that worked for them, great. But please keep in mind that might not work for you. Please keep in mind that, like,
well,
your
it's also
story,
a little unhealthy to write to your future spouse when you're like, in high school.
That's a whole other opinion I have. But anyway, but yeah, if that worked for them, great. But listen to these stories and take the goodness out of it, not the specific algorithm that got them to where they're at. If that makes sense, like, because we're all on a different journey. To find our vocation, to find our beloved, and to Christ. So,
yeah,
what worked for them may not work for you, and that
absolutely.
Is okay.
Yep.
So, anyway, that was the last
awesome.
Question. Thanks for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you, guys.
For sure.
Woo!
Absolutely.
We did it, guys.
Okay, so that is the end of our Seek 2019 live podcast. Well, it's not live because we're going to put it up Monday.
We recorded it live.
So this will be up on Monday, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
So just go watch it or listen to it because it's in the YouTube channel. Actually, we might post the video too because it's recorded on video.
Okay. Do you feel like we just beat like a Guinness Book or Guinness World Book of Records kind of thing? Like, how long can you stay in a booth with no air? Like, we did it.
I'm supposed to breathe in the air. But what's our sign off?
We will see you next week.
No, you'll hear us next Monday.
Oh, you'll hear us next Monday.
Stay,
so,
wait,
yeah.
You say that.
We love you guys. Have so
yes,
much fun at
Yes, shout out
Seek.
To everybody that came to our booth, our podcast or whatever.
Thanks for coming.
You'll hear us next Monday.
Yeah, stay holy, my friends.
Deuces.
Adios.